And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back, listeners. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup. Wayne Cotto here with Corey Sandin. We're in the world headquarters, Let's Talk Hookup, right here in Fisherman's Landing, Point Loma. We have our great guests we're talking with, Cameron Cribben from the Mission Bell. And boy, we're just... It's never ending on the stories and everything that's going on out there, right, Corey?
Oh, it's all good, man. Just a healthy ocean and good times. Yellowtail's starting to bite at the islands and again, right? Yeah, and things happening. And just stoked to be in the world headquarters with Cameron. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973. You can give us a call. Again, 833-288-0973. Or send us a text via the app. Cameron's brought a full-day trip on his boat on the Mission Bell out of Point Loma Sport Fishing for one lucky caller or texter. So if you're texting the show, make sure you leave your name or telephone number, and I think we're going to continue on with the fish report, right?
I think we have Gundy Gunderson on the phone
with our surf guru, surf report of the week. Good morning, Gundy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Morning.
Doing well, and just wondering if you maybe have a decent surf report, even with the surf up a little bit.
Yeah, try to polish the side of the way, but it's been a little challenging, you know. Kind of stacked fishing this week, like you said, the swell. It's getting wind on and off, so we've had a little temperature down soon, right? So I'm looking forward to the weather, and it's supposed to really warm up this weekend. So
hey, Gundy, we have a really bad connection. If you can maybe try to call us right back if you can.
Yes, yeah, no worries.
Yeah, because definitely hang up and try to call us back, and we'll get back to it, okay?
Okay, no worries.
Yeah, perfect. You want to take a call or a text, Wayne?
Why don't we take a caller?
Let's do that, and then we'll get back to Gundy's report, because I definitely want to hear that one. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck calling from Dana Point. Good morning, Chuck. Appreciate you joining us.
Oh, hey, guys. Talking about putting the hook in my mouth, talking about half days and twilight.
Right?
That's how I got started at twilight. Big old, probably four and a half pound calico.
Nice.
And that set the hook. And then I went on my birthday, and it was El Nino, and I caught a yellowfin tuna and 7 skipjack on a half day.
How about that?
So don't downplay the half days, man.
No.
So I'll have a burger, show up at noon, 5. Come on, how easy is that?
And then so how long did it take
I heard nothing but good about your boat, buddy.
Chuck, how long did it take you to put on your big boy pants and get on a 3/4 day or a full day trip?
That summer.
Yeah.
You know, man, I went out again. And yeah. Now I got 2 rows of rods and reels in my garage. I'm just a junkie.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're just a beginner.
Yeah, right? No, it sounds like the rest of us. And you're
well, get out there and get a burger.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, we appreciate the call this morning, Chuck. And I'm sure it's nice having Dana Wharf Sport Fishing right in your backyard. And I think we got the surf report again, right? Yeah. Gundy called back. Good morning, Gundy.
Yeah, how are we sounding now?
Well, you definitely sound better. Yes. Good morning.
We'll take that. Yeah, I was, the wind kind of rolled some things over, so it's a consistency thing. Fast fishing this week, lots of junk in the water, you know, that was a complaint up and down the coast. But catches were still made, and it's all about finding the cleaner stretches, you know, and this is where communication with your local tackle shop or guys who are on the water are really going to dial in their day as a producer. Hook, line, sinker, ported the halibut bite. Was the best bait up there. No big fish, but a little good show on 18 to 25 inch fish. The white fleets, the white swim baits producing. Cut anchovy was also getting bites. You know, a lot of guys forget how well that cut anchovy was fished. Butterfly beach down to the harbor was a clean stretch where the guys were finding some fish. There's the juvenile white sea bass also outside the surf line, you know, along Galita Pier, Galita, Henry, that stretch there. Sometimes the fish are fast, but just few leaders, you know, most of them are under that leader shot. Another big leopard shark, 5.5 foot, estimated at 50 pounds, caught and released off the slough there on the slab of mackerel. This fishing reported tough fishing in the bay, lots of tough real grass, a little bit of water, off color water. The cooler stretch for those that is North Manhattan up to Dockweiler, picking out perch, ages, and small filters, and a few Corvina. Lots of small sand crabs, so you got to bring another bait. You know, you got to bring ghost shrimp or some lugworms or something. The crabs are real small. Hard to fish those things with those crabs. Big fish reported cooler temps, a little bit of off-color water, but still some nice halibut catches. Got a 17-pound fish at Alameda staying there on a live smell. The bay bass fishing is also been good. Deport Dana, you know, saw scrap fishing too, smaller perch and croakers. Pacific Coast reported South Beach fishing, lots of junk in the water, rolled over 63 to 66, so that's a problem. But it is bouncing back. A best bet was in the harbors and the big, very good bay bass fishing. Short team showing us at night there in the harbors. And several legal halibut, and the team of the legal halibut with the live smell. Got about 32 inches, maybe a 30 or 28 inches. So there was some nice mid-sized fish in the bay on the smell. The bait situation, Corey, has kind of been up and down, especially on San Diego. Some stretches just dried up, you know, and that's kind of the function of this El Nino. You know, you see the bait sometimes go down. I remember years El Ninos and hot water down the bay point when I was on the bait with you. You know, we'd have to haul in the canyons and stuff, and hope that bait comes up at night, so you'll see the pelicans get greedy, and you know, some of these are elements of warmer water, and I think that's just around the corner.
Yeah, definitely, Gundy, and you know, you were a little scratchy, but we got a great portion of the report, and man, a 17-pound halibut on a smelt, man, I'd take that any time at all, and you know, with the surf coming down this week, a little bit of a south swell, but the swell coming down for the rest of the week. I definitely look forward to a great report next week, Gundy. And you put so much into it and all your tackle shops up and down the coast, and it's such an important thing to support that brick-and-mortar tackle shop, man. Thank you,
absolutely.
Gundy.
Absolutely right.
With the junk in the water, it's just tough lure fishing. But sometimes, you know, you switch to the bait, you can do really well. Like, don't forget about that cut anchovy. That fish is one of the different things.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. That cut anchovy can change your whole position right there, too. And Gundy, thanks for the report. You have a great week. And we definitely appreciate everything you put into it all week. And look forward to next week's report. Thank you.
Thank you,
Gundy. And that was brought to us by SurfFishTackle.com. That's Bill Varney's website right there. And for all your surf fishing needs, that's where you go, SurfFishTackle.com.
Hey, why don't we take another call there, Corey?
Let's do that, and we can talk to Reggie, the one and only Reggie from Camarillo. Good morning, Reggie.
Yo, good morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
Doing excellent. Doing very well, man. What's happening in the Reggie's world?
Man, I mean, I'm just going to start off by saying, it sounds like we need to get my man Gundy a new cell phone, man. I love his reports weekly, but I need to hear him clearly, man. We need to start a GoFundMe for him to get a new cell phone.
I thought the calling back might change it, and it did a little bit, yeah. I got enough of it.
Yeah, it was definitely better the second time for sure. But yeah, I just wanted to call and give Cameron his props, his dues, man. Like, I've been fishing the Bell for 12 years, open party, chartering the boat, and just over the last couple years since he's owned it, he's been doing like all these upgrades, like to the galley, even the galley snacks. The crew is awesome, and they're even doing stuff on social media that's relating to this generation. So major props to Cameron. So if you're going to come on the Bell, I'm going to give you a bit of advice. He probably doesn't want me to say this publicly, but I'm going to say it anyways. Bring him some pistachios. Bring him a couple of bags, because that guy, when he's working, he's focused. He won't eat anything else. he would just be looking for yellowtail, eating pistachios. And Cameron, I just got one other thing for you, man, and I want you to solve this mystery for us.
Oh, boy.
So please answer it. If not, still got respect for you. On your social media, there's some guy that goes by the name of Captain McNugget. Who's that?
Oh, that's the ultimate. That is the ultimate.
Is there an inside joke on the whole thing?
There's a mystery man
okay.
on social media called Fish McNugget.
Does Booger have a new handle or what?
We don't know. We don't know. I'll work on that one, Reggie.
Some unsavory...
oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll leave it at that. Oh, Reggie. Well, thank you for the call, Reggie.
Reggie giving out the secrets on the pistachios. Oh, is that shelled, unshelled? Is
doesn't
it
matter.
Salted? Salt and pepper?
My go-to? The Costco 2-pound...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I like those salt and pepper ones.
Do you?
Yeah. I can go half a bag in a sitting.
Man, we could have a whole segment on pistachio
talk. I can always tell when Reggie, I'm off and he comes out, because I get to the chair and there's big old just 2-week status of pistachios in the chair.
Oh, so cool.
That's funny.
Reggie's always a lively one. Always nice having him on air.
He's the best.
Yeah.
So, hey, we got a text here from Rick. He's asking, I want to upgrade my yo-yo dropper loop setup. What do you recommend and what do you use?
I'm a Fathom 40. I love them. They brought the OG ones back. It's 2-speed. It's relatively inexpensive as far as the reels go. God.
That first gen is bulletproof, too.
It's the best.
It is. Very solid.
Man, I'm blanking on. Chris is probably. They sent me a CalStar. 6470, maybe?
You're looking at the wrong guy.
I know.
Because I'm not a number, dude. I'm a hammer and nail kind of guy.
Same.
And if it works.
CalStar, when Chris took over, they sent us this package, and it's like, oh, this is the ultimate.
Yeah.
And that's, but something 7 foot, I like a little bit longer, seven.
With a medium.
Yeah.
With a medium action, I think is important.
Yeah. And mono. We saw so much short top shot yo-yo setups this year. And mono is such a factor.
So what happens with the Spectra or Power Pro short top shot scenario?
You just lose your stretch, I feel, and just forgiveness of the whole thing. There's times, we stopped the boat and 30 people dropping down and tangles, and it's friendly for the crew. It's friendly for the angler. It's easy to cut, retire, not worried about short top shots. And just, a lot of the fish, they're 25, 30 pounders. They pull hard. There's a lot.
When they take a run.
Yeah. And there's a lot of
something's
got
to give.
Yes.
And it's right at the end when they're at color and they're bobbing. But if they take that run and you don't have some forgiveness, a drag backed off a little bit of a parabolic rod, a leader, something.
Yeah.
Something's going to break. And it's usually the fish coming off your line. Somewhere.
Yeah. And there's so many variables to that as well, Wayne.
Yeah.
Like the roll in the boat,
Totally.
The fish wanting to surge and do its thing and the roll of the boat and lifting the rod to get over your neighbor's, rod. And it just, there's so many variables to where, like you're saying, man, that mono just, it's for kids. If you were to take 40 pound mono and tie it off to your trailer hitch, And just walk away, like 60 feet. I mean, just put it, at like an average boat length, 60, 70 feet. You're going to be able to get probably 4.5, 5 feet of stretch out of that easily, like without even.
A lot of our stops this year, would be kind of like outside the structure, 23, 24, 30 fathom.
Okay.
And we'd get these drifts where we'd catch a bunch of yellowtail, and then kind of as we started drifting into the structure, and guys, everyone's 6Xs are down near the bottom, and we'd come up on the northeast corner of the rock pile, it's just like, oh no, you'd see everyone start hooking the bottom.
Yeah.
Myself included and the crew, you want to talk about a butt kicker trying to break free a 6X from the bottom on 40 pound, stretch
with mono.
And, and
it's nearly impossible.
It's nearly impossible. I'd run up to the wheelhouse, and each crew member would have someone's, bumping it into gear to kind of help because the stretch. And
I think some of the key, learning tools or learning, steps in my fishing life was learning mono. We learned on the mono end. And once you understand everything you described, when you use what we have today as Power Pro, now you know how to pull on a fish. Totally. Now you know when to pull and when not.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and so that's, I mean, mono's...
Even fly lining, you know, we've really gotten into the fluorocarbon short top shot, a lot of spectra. I fish a lot of baits throughout the summer.
Yeah.
I fish mono. Not a ton, but, you know, enough that I can cast a bait out and it goes for 5 seconds, and then here comes my spectra.
Right.
But I'm a big mono person. It's easy to use.
So like bait fishing, how much mono do you wind on? I mean, enough for a cast length, I'm assuming?
Yeah, you know, 800 feet,
okay,
something like that. You know, something where I can cast, or if I get in a tangle, I can cut out and retie and still have, you know, I'm not dealing with my knot.
Which is awesome, because now you have the benefits of both. Like, if you hook a bigger fish that wants to run, you've got the backing.
100%.
And if you hook, like you're talking about, 22, 25, 30-pound yellowtail on a common... And when that fish gets within a boat length, now you're on the mono situation.
I'll tell you one thing I've noticed, and it, for some reason this year it sticks out the most, is we've lost, like, people's arsenals, the 30-pound fly line bait setup.
It's a missing part of the...
Lexas and Tranks, they're awesome. I own a bunch of Tranks. They are great reels. When it comes to fly lining, our traditional, you know, 500 Jigmaster,
open bail.
Torium, open bail, stiff rod... You know, a 25-pound yellowtail on a fly line bait and a bass rod with a Lexa or a Tranks, it's an epic battle.
Yeah.
It is, you know, they're great lure rod reels and stuff like that, but fly lining and stuff like that.
There was always this question, because when you got to the 500, when do you cross back over to the open reel, right? The Trinidad or the Tranks or the Talica. When do you switch back over? Because they got those coming down smaller.
Yeah.
And it's that... Do you want to have that level wind? Do you want to have that low-profile bait cast feature? Is castability? But they both have the same castability.
And they work.
They work, but there is a level to them.
I have a whole charter that fishes Lexa's fly line. And when they get a bite, they all yell Lexa, and it works.
Yeah.
But the 270 and the, you know, 25-size reel... is so huge for the Coronado Islands for a fly line setup.
Where you can kick butt on a yellowtail.
You can kick
or,
butt. You know, you're in the driver's seat.
You can still manage a 40-pound fish decently,
yeah.
You know, if that was the case, or a 30-pounder.
Yeah. Like, you know, I the old school guys and the guys who have done it, they all have it, but it seems like the new generation of kids that go from, you know, fishing the docks and stuff like that, they have these, you know, it's 30-pound, you know, I can do it. And it's like, it can.
Oh, you can.
Private boaters, private boating is a little bit different situation.
Totally.
Like,
absolutely.
But when you're from the Mission Bell on the deck, on the anchor, completely different.
Yeah. You want to be in the driver's seat.
Yeah. And that would be, I mean, even going to a smaller Trinidad would be.
I'm a Talica 10.
Yeah.
Like, totally.
Like my Talica 10. It's so versatile. You can catch almost anything locally with it. You can always size down your leader. You can always size up your leader. You have plenty of capacity, plenty of drag, 2-speed if you need it because you're deep. It's so all around for me. I like my low profile, but I'm a light tackle guy. I will try always to be on the lightest tackle. Always to my detriment on a big fish. You never look at a big fish and go, God, I wish I was on a smaller reel.
Which is true, right?
Yeah. You know, but you got to look at the situation. If you're on a small tackle on a big boat with a lot of people, are you putting yourself at a disadvantage and everybody else around you at a disadvantage? And that's what Cameron's talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I have a set of 4 CalStars with Fathom 25, the OG 1-2 speeds. And I hand most of them out every trip.
Yeah.
The fly line. Here, fly line with this.
Yeah.
Try this. Oh, this is, you know, they get a bite, they wind it in, they have the power, and it's like, oh, I see it.
Yeah. To be able to backspool on an open reel versus what do you do on a small one?
Totally.
You're clicking in and out all the time,
yeah.
Right? Right, I agree. It's just a different technique, and that forgiveness. We're going away from mono because everybody went to braid, short top shots. What knot are you tying? Because this is always the critical factor, is nobody wants that knot going through their guides and on their thumb when they're casting, right? That's always been the kind of the rub.
Yeah.
So what knot are you tying between your connections?
I'm a uni to uni.
Are you?
Yeah, up to like 50 pound. I'm a uni to uni.
You haven't met the RP knot yet?
I once I get higher up in line, I'm an RP knot guy for sure.
I switched over, man. I went to the
FG. Did you? Because the FG knot is really fancy. It's fancy, but once you get the technique down, it is smooth. And it goes through the guides without catching.
Oh,
it really does. And you'll see it more in the freshwater side because you've got smaller guides usually. Open water, big reels, big guides, no big deal, right? You don't have that same thing, except your thumb gets burned having a bigger knot, right, when you're casting in salt water.
Yeah.
It's just a larger line, larger knot.
I lived with a back-to-back uni. Yeah. Like, that was my go-to.
I get fancy. I tuck the tag ends through the middle.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, but it's...
That's getting fancy.
It's fancy.
Yeah.
And it's an easy knot to teach people. I'm always trying to teach. Hey, can you tie this on? You know, and it's like, okay, watch this.
And it's fairly easy.
And you can watch it, and you know when you tie it right.
Yeah. Well, you can't go wrong with either one, I think, right?
Looks like we have the Angler's Realtor just calling in.
Oh, we've got Yousef Hosseini on the line. Good morning, Yousef. It's our FishDope.com...
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, with our FishDope.com report. Appreciate you having me on. What's happening?
Oh, not too much. Yellows are biting good, and we still got some sea bass around. I'm going to start up in the Channel Islands area. Santa Cruz has been seeing a bunch of sea bass action lately. The best bite is in the Christie's area. Live squid is the top bait, but guys are getting them on the white fluke-style plastics. Over at Catalina, the backside's fishing really well for yellowtail and sea bass. Farnsworth Bank is producing some sluggers. 30 to 40 pound brutes they're pulling out of there. Salta Verde and Whale Rock are also holding some solid yellows in the 15 to 25 pound class. And the front side has the normal smaller fish, 3 to 8 pounds. San Clemente Island has really good yellowtail action at the Runaway Kelp, North Harbor, and Pyramid Cove. Normal deal, it's best when there's some downhill current. Biting really good from 3 a.m. to sunrise. The front side, they've been catching them in the day, 6 to 18 pounds. Closer to home, Del Mar, Three Point Loma is seeing some good yellowtail action still in the 20 to 35 pound class range. It's been best in the mornings. Northwest Corner and Children's Pool are the hot spots. La Jolla kelp beds are also lit up with calico bass and shots at yellows and white sea bass. Coronado Islands, rock pile area has been improving quite a bit. Conditions are cleaning up in the water there. There have been some reports on the rock pile of some decent-sized yellows. They're starting to chew again. Going offshore, kelp paddy yellowtail is kind of the show here. They're spread out all along the ridge and the 181-182 area down to the 209. Ranging from rats about 4 pounds up to 30 pound class. There also are some Dorado showing up in the area and being picked up as well as Jumbo Bonito. The corner and farther west, there are some out there as well. There were some bluefin spotted near the Cortez Bank this last week as well. Smaller groups of medium-sized fish, but nothing to shake a stick at. Bluefin, they're kind of vaporizing a little bit, and it's been about 5 days now since we've heard about a good school being caught. Down in Salsa Puedes area, there has been some good yellowtail fishing down there as well, between there and Isolite, and that's about all that's going on right now, guys. Really good yellowtail fishing, though, on the kelp paddies, and Dorado are starting to show up, so hopefully those bluefin pop back up here soon.
Yeah, definitely.
And it'll happen.
Yeah, and a nice stretch of weather coming this week. And, you know, if you're on a trip leaving tonight, tomorrow night, I mean, you're pretty much in the stoked position as far as our weather coming, the fish starting to bite. And, yeah, and what's happening in your world with the real estate? How's that moving?
The market's pretty good. It's staying steady. It's not going crazy or anything. Interest rates keep bouncing up and down. From about 6.25, 6.75. As soon as oil comes down a little bit, we should see the action pick up and see people getting in the market a little more. One thing right now to note is properties are becoming pretty highly negotiable. It's really turning into more of a buyer's market everywhere around San Diego right now. So if you're sitting on the fence, it's better to buy now pay a little more in interest because most of it's a write-off anyway, and then refi your way down. You'll get a better deal on the home, and your payment will be less in the future. So that's my recommendation of the day.
And that's a great tip, too. I mean, if you're in the market wanting to purchase or, you know, maybe you wanted to get out of your home and into maybe a different region or something, you're the guy to talk to, Yusuf.
You got it.
Yeah, and how do we get a hold of you?
You can get me on my cell phone, 619-277-2169. You can also get me on social media at the Angler's Realtor. And if you want a free home evaluation, go to SoCalHomeEval.com.
Well, we definitely appreciate you being a part of the show, and you're a really, really good guy from the heart that makes the best deals he can for your customers and clients, and appreciate everything you put into it, Yusuf.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
All right. You have a great week. Look forward to next week's report as well. With a nice week of weather coming, I'm sure it'll be on the up on the upper end. Thank you.
Thanks, Yusuf.
Yep. Take care, guys.
All right. Hey, and that report was sponsored by the fishdump.com. The code this week, hook up now, lowercase, no space, $30 off your subscription. New subscription.
Yeah, for your yearly thing. And, I mean, nothing better to have,
and
right?
It's going to be so important this year, so you don't go just driving around out there. You use all the tools available to put you on the spot to have the most opportunity to go catch fish.
You don't have to follow Cameron around. How about that?
Cameron will thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a text here from Tyler. He says, any insight on the influx of white sea bass showing up at the islands this year? Do you think it'll be something that's a recurring event?
You know, I don't know. I think there's always a little bit around. You know, talking to the guys who have done it forever and the history hits and stuff like that, it very well could be. You know, I know Booger had a pretty good hit in the Lee a couple of weeks ago, and Mike Jewett came fishing. He comes fishing.
No, come on.
He went from the barefoot crazy captain to the full-blown passenger. It's awesome.
Crazy on the light side. Come
yeah.
on.
And he
a good guy, though.
Oh, he's the best. And so he comes out a couple times a year, and, you know, talking about Barracuda Cove and anchoring up and white jigs and stuff. And I think it's just timing it with that elusive fish where right place, right time, you know, you get this giant hit.
And with... Like earlier, we were talking, and we talk about it a lot. Like the ocean is in a very healthy place.
Yeah,
it's a lot of squid, a lot of chovy. There's so much sea bass around. I mean, it's from Cedros to San Francisco.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean.
Well, even past Cedros.
Right,
yeah. And they're big. You're seeing tankers come over the rail now.
But not only that, Wayne. There's a lot of healthy, like just legal.
Yeah.
And sublegal.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of. Sublegal to 10, 12 pounders, which is awesome. And
we used to catch them at that South Ribbon kelp when that kelp used to be on the surface.
Yeah.
And we'd go back and forth, and the yellowtail and the white sea bass used to hide in there.
Yeah, I mean, the boat this year was stopped on a school of yellowtail, caught 4 yellowtail and a 35-pound white sea bass.
Really?
Yeah.
Mixed in. Oh, wow.
So who knows?
That sounds cool.
Yes. Yeah,
you don't see that often at all.
No, very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, they usually don't mix. You have a good...
do you don't have the text?
There's so many coming in.
Yeah.
I do have a good one. And this is around the surface iron world. And it comes from Daniel in Santa Barbara. Thank you for sending this. It says, good morning, Chance. Great having Cameron on the show. I've noticed that sometimes fishing a faster retrieve and there's a lot of current, your surface iron will pop out of the water. Question for Cameron. How can you tell if a surface iron is made for a slower or a faster retrieve? And I just bring this up because,
yeah.
I mean, it's everybody's into surface iron fishing, right?
Yeah, it's trial and error. You know, it's like I can have a lure tied on my rod that works great and I get bites and then all of a sudden we're anchored and I cast it and I know it catches fish, but it's like, man, this isn't working.
Yeah.
It's just not swimming properly.
It's not swimming or it's skipping out of the water, especially, you know, like North Island if we're kind of sitting in the wash a little bit. I just grab a different one that I have confidence in. You know,
you got to know which way that swell's going. Down swell or up swell will change that, how you're pulling it through the water.
Yeah, and we fished in a lot. There's been a lot of rips this year and a lot of weird current.
Like swirling.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, or kind of that, you know, where it does like the short chop thing.
Okay.
There's been a lot of
like
that.
Chop against chop.
Yeah.
Like little peaks and valleys.
Totally.
Really?
Wind against swell.
Yeah.
Or coming off the island.
Coming off the island.
Yeah.
The backwash or the uphill current or whatever it
and
is.
And surface iron... are so tricky. I mean, they've got it down, like Brandon and you know, the boys and Brawla with the two fish jigs, you know, they're machining them to where they're identical, but they're still variances, man. They're still like you can, and they've got it down better. Like you can probably take 7 out of 10 where the old school Taddy 45, I mean, it was 1 out of 25.
I'm a diehard to the 7X.
Are you okay?
I love a 7X.
Which swim badass.
They're awesome, but I'll tell you, those Brandon and Brawl and those guys, those two fish jigs are getting tested every day.
Every day.
Matt Brawla is testing those lures every day.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of times we'll be driving down towards the rock pile, and he'll be like, all right, here it comes, you know, and the blue bag comes over the side. And then I grab, and he's like, try that one today. And, you know, it's like, I don't like that one, you know.
It's funny because if you fish a lot of jigs, like we go on a boat, we'll have a whole slew of jigs in our bag. But every time you cut and tie a new one on, you got to re-practice to find out what the cadence on that jig specifically is. And you got to be careful because as you go and throw and you get excited, you got a high-speed reel now. Most people don't run a low-speed reel. So you get excited, you start winding, you're just winding too fast, and that thing is skipping along the top of the water. You wind it a little too slow, or you've got to watch which way the current's going, the swell's going, because that'll change the cadence of the line of the jig in the water. And it's hard. You've got to know. And you watch guys that are really good, the Danny Wades of the world, and they're just experts at being good at that cadence thing, right? Throwing it and knowing exactly how to make that thing swim. They can feel it in their reel while they're retrieving. That is kicking.
And I think, wouldn't you agree, Cameron? Like every surface iron has its own character.
Totally. Fast one, slow one.
You could go to the two fish jig or the 7X lineup and pull three jigs that all look exactly the same, right? Three 7Xs look exactly the same. But they've all got their little nuance. They all swim great.
Yeah.
But they all have their own character.
I had a pink two fish jig, and I'm not really like a bright color lure guy.
Has to be something Brandon threw at you.
Matt had given it to me, and it was like, it almost swam too good, and I lost. I was devastated. It's like, and then all of a sudden, you know, here comes Bowden. Now I have every size in pink.
Yeah.
And it's their. They're good lures.
I got to laugh. That pink two-fish jig was like the best jig down at Cedros last year when I was on my trip. And then the captain of the boat, you know, the Pangaro used it and lost it. I was like, I wanted to cry. I just wanted to cry. I'm like, not that jig of all jigs, please.
No, the pink one, huh?
Yeah,
the pink one. Oh, my gosh. Hey, we're going to be right back. All this great conversation. And we've got more coming up when we return on Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. That's Let's Talk Hook Up on the Let's Talk Hook Up app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at Fine Tackle Dealer.
Ford is celebrating our country's 250th anniversary with big savings for you. Employee pricing is back at your local San Diego County Ford dealers. You pay what we pay across the full lineup of Ford trucks and SUVs. We're here for those who build America, those who believe that giving everything we've got today will pay for tomorrow. Who will drive America forward for 250 years to come? If that's who you are, you value what we value, and you should pay what we pay. Now get employee pricing across the Ford lineup. Go to your local San Diego County Ford dealer today.
Brock Codrick here to tell you about Parker Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Stuart West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip, and there they are. Parker Boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as the sporties. There's a good reason for it, fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parkers in stock and ready for delivery. And they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
Every boater wants reliability and peace of mind on the water. And that's exactly what Towboat U.S. San Diego provides. As part of the largest on-water towing fleet in the nation, Towboat U.S. San Diego is ready to respond when you need them. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. As a member, you get free towing, free fuel delivery, free jump starts, and many more services. Now is a great time to sign up for a Boat U.S. membership, as they are celebrating their 60th anniversary by giving away a 21-foot Grady White boat, plus lots of other prizes. Entry is free. Sign up at BoatUS.com. Let's face it, when you're out on the water, things happen fast. And Towboat U.S. San Diego can help you get home safe. Their fleet of boats and professional captains are standing by ready to lend you a hand when you need it. Membership is inexpensive and is certainly a must-have for any boat owner. Check BoatUS.com for details and sign up for the Grady White Boat Giveaway, which ends June 15th. Towboat U.S. San Diego. Your friend on the water.
Seasoned long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3, and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224. 3857.
Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, and just having a great time in the world headquarters here, talking good times, and yellow's starting to bite at the islands, things starting to happen. And if you want to join us, there is an open line for you at 833-288-0973, or you can text us via the app. Make sure you do leave your name and telephone number, because at the end of the show, we're giving away a full-day trip on the Mission Bell out of Point Loma Sport Fishing, and you can join Cameron and bring your pistachios and have a great time. And your surface iron as well.
Isn't that true? Man, we started talking about surface iron, and at the break, that's all we're doing. We're foaming at the mouth talking about all the different types of jigs and how we use them and the colors and the sizes and the different formats. And, oh, my God, it's just so much fun, because we could do this for the next 5 days.
And you think about it, I mean, the whole surface iron thing really is a Southern California bite thing. It's like Santa Barbara to, well, I mean, of course it goes down, but it's a San Diego, really.
It's Southern California.
Yeah.
This year is, we've had such good yellowtail fishing this spring, and it kind of like made me really just appreciate owning Mission Bell, is how many sport boat operators and sport boat legends all of a sudden are like walking on the Mission Bell to go fishing for
super cool.
John Bass, Mike Jewett,
yeah,
Matt Cullen, who ran the Indy for Independence forever. I went on vacation in April, and I'm getting pictures. Brian Kiyohara's fishing on the American, or from the American Angler,
yeah,
is on the Mission Bell, and it's like, you didn't
what?
Wait? Yeah, like what? You know, it's the ultimate. Coronado Island, yellowtail, surface iron, yo-yo. It's the apex.
And it's an affordable ticket, really. If you're listening and you want to go out, I invite you, and those that have a private boat, go to Summit Gasoline, the least expensive gas on the planet, right now. Go fill up your boat. Go buy the bait receiver and pick up your two scoops. Like, I mean, just put it at a minimal. And purchase your permits and go the whole route. And for the two of you that are on your boat, for probably less money, you could have jumped on the Mission Bell and had how many scoops of bait do you carry?
In a perfect world, we take about 180.
Okay, 180 scoops by 28 people.
180 scoops and a cheeseburger and a breakfast burrito. And you didn't have to drive, and you don't have to clean the boat.
There's a whole lot
to it.
It really is. It's the ultimate value. I mean, we leave, and it's the full day. It is.
Relax. Go down in the galley. Go talk to your buds. You don't have to deal. You don't have to stress. You're not the captain having to go find those fish. Leave that up to the professionals. And it's just a good day on the water. You can just relax. And that's what you're saying, is captains getting on the boat, relaxing, because they love the water, but they just need a day off.
How many of those guys you mentioned have their long rod up on the bow?
All of them.
I love it.
They all do. And they all, it's as soon as that first boil happens or the first yellowtail swirls in the circle,
flash come through.
It is, you just see it, you know, it's, I mean, even, you know, for me, and I can guarantee it for Brawla and Booger, it's the same. Coming around and they start the adrenaline, it's the ultimate. It's the ultimate high.
That's why we do it, man. Yeah. That's, and to be able to hop on the bell and go do that, I mean, it's super
nothing
cool.
Better.
Yeah, you have a text, Wayne?
We got one.
Yeah.
Stephen Fallbrook asking, and this is always going to be the question for you, buddy. It's, what are the three setups you're going to take rigged for the full day trip tomorrow?
Yo-yo setup, 40, 50 pound. It can also kind of be your cods, you know, bottom fish, if that's what we choose to do. 25 or 30 pound fly line bait setup and your long rod. And you are golden.
Yeah.
Don't overthink it.
Exactly.
And if you bring the fourth, you got to bring, you know, the bass rod.
Yeah. Exactly. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
And the calico fishing could actually be pretty good at the islands,
so,
yeah?
So there's so many times we anchor up and it's like all of a sudden these nice calicos start coming over the rail.
Two and three pounders, like a common scene.
Totally. And, you know, guys like, oh, not a yellowtail. It's like, are you kidding me? Look at this thing.
Look at this beautiful fish. Yeah.
They're the ultimate indicator of when conditions are getting right.
They'll be like the first to perk up.
First, you know, you see one flip and it's like, okay, whatever's here is right.
So earlier I was telling you about the whole Salsipoides squid and, you know, that late 80s, early 90s kind of thing and the bluefin that would flash through, you know, super light line. Like you seriously, you'd have a number four hook and a full size squid, you know, on 15 pound. Like that was the get up, you know, today. The bluefin that are around the islands. I mean, have you seen them this year? Because there's flashes of them the last 10 years that just blow my mind, the size of the fish.
I have not personally seen them. There was one day Booger was kind of on the lower end of things. We were up at the islands, and he referred to it as an oceanic flat spot.
Really?
Just a big old giant flat spot of them milling around in the shallows.
Really?
Yeah.
In the shallows?
Yeah. East of SKR a little bit.
East. That's inside, like straight toward Rosarito.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So they're there.
It's kind of neat to see. Do you think the pins, the bluefin pins there? Kinda...
We were talking about that. We've seen it now, especially since this whole tuna pin thing and fish associating in and outside the pins. And, you know, they're towing pins in daily.
Okay. Currently?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you would have to think, you know, maybe they do follow them in.
Maybe.
Were those pins out by the 425 out there, 371 out there?
Yeah, I don't know how the stages of it work. You know, there's the ones at the islands. There's, you know, the fleet that's towing them just outside around the 425 and all that. And then those Saners, you know, they have room on their quota. So they were out a couple weeks ago and caught another batch. So I don't know, you know, if they soak out there for a little bit and then come in or
get them acclimated.
Yeah. How, you know, get them stable and then bring them in. But yeah, there's about a pin a day coming in, probably.
Interesting. Pretty interesting. I bet you all those pins, like on the lee of south, like it creates a habitat, actually.
It has to.
Like all that structure. It's almost like having kelp stringing up, right?
Yeah, I'm okay with the pins there. It's a whole ecosystem. And
well, they're feeding them, too.
Feeding them
so,
daily.
So, you know, they're blowing, they seine up the fish, and then they blow them into those pens. Well, you don't think everything ends up in those pens, so there's bait running around there. Other fish are going to pull up just like anything, right, when they're going to see that kind of collection.
It's a puree that they feed them. It's, you know, we've seen like the evolution where it was snow shovels of dead bait and big foamers inside the pins. Now it's almost like it's soup.
Oh, really?
So this 3-inch PVC comes down and just feeds, and so they're not fighting now.
Right.
Because when they were creating competition, they were smashing into each other and damaging the product.
Interesting.
And so now it's just this red soup going in.
It's probably like quarter-sized chunks where they just slurp it down.
Yeah. And so all that filter feeds out.
I was
going to
say, that's a chum. That's a chum.
Yeah, you can just think of the 8-10-pound calico bass that are just sitting there.
Can you imagine? I mean, it's in a respectful way, as a private boater, you got to stay away from all that activity. It's a business and a commercial activity that they've created, right?
Yeah, those guys are working for sure.
And the lines, the poly, I've seen some of that, man. Like the poly they have coming up and floating off of that, you definitely want to stay away.
There's some scary ropes there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some booby traps waiting for you.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Interesting. Yeah. Hey, you know, we talk about the half and the three-quarter day or full-day trips being kind of the entry level for a lot of people getting their salt. And so we get listeners on the phone or calling in, and there's quite a few texts going on talking about all the parts of what we do. So we talk about rods and reels and line all the time. but there's the terminal tackle side, right? What are the minimum things that you think that everybody should have? Size of hooks, leader material, crimps or weights or whatever, right? To go on your boats.
Man, a handful of hooks, anything from like a number 2 or a number 4 in case there's anchovies to the 2-0.
J or circle?
I'm a J hook guy. Yellowtail, I'm a J hook guy.
Just old school.
Just old school.
Yeah.
What is it, a 94-150?
And for yellows,
pack.
For yellows, it's perfect.
It's the best.
Yeah.
And they work great. You know, at 2-0 with a squid strip, if we go bottom fishing, a couple 4-6 ounce torpedo sinkers. You don't need to bring a bunch. The boat has a bunch. I'm a terrible businessman, so anything somebody needs, I'm handing out. You know,
you just want people to catch fish.
That's it. Yeah. It's, you know, your couple favorite surface irons and, you know, yo-yo fishing. It was, you know, a couple junior size and a couple full-size 6Xs.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. You know, we see these guys bring these giant SKB boxes. And I get it. It's all our toys. You got to make sure we have everything.
Right.
A 3,700 size roller bag.
But then you see the same guy that's going to have a successful day with just a little duffel, you know, a tiny little Milwaukee drill bag.
Ken Corwin, he goes on a long-range trip, and it's this little wooden box. He only does small hooks. He only does leaders. He only does bait. He doesn't do jigs. That's it. That's a little baby box, and that's all he brings.
I've spent a lot of time on the ocean with Ken Corwin.
On the American Angler.
Oh, yeah. And that's it. It's this thing.
Yeah, little wooden box.
Simple.
Simple.
Hasn't changed in 20 years.
But we've got to have all the jigs.
You
got to
have it all.
Man,
no, you need it.
I'm trying to imagine a world without it.
What if it's, you know, they're eating red jigs and you only have blue? You know, you can't be that guy.
Right? Exactly.
So got to have your swim baits. I'm a fan. We talked about it yesterday. You know, we're trolling along, and what do? You drop back. You drop back a swim bait. You don't drop back the metal one. You drop back a swim bait. That little paddle tail gets them on fire.
You know what's crazy that has befounded me? The whole fluke thing. Like, how much of that do you see on the boat?
Came back around.
Yeah, we don't see it like Ventura.
No.
For sure. But there's more.
But it's up and down the coast.
Yeah. I mean,
Cedros.
Big.
Yeah. It's the white fluke. It's coming. It's here. It's a thing.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Man. It's crazy to see it. I mean, it's something I made for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was always in the mix. It was always. But now, like, Johnny Adana, like, I mean, I filled him up at our sale 2 weeks ago, and immediately after, he's like, Corey, the Indians are getting restless over here. Seriously, yeah, that quick.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
we just go through these phases. It's so funny.
But there are things that work, and it's like this whole surface iron thing. It's something that'll never leave our fabric.
No, ever.
It works.
It works.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny.
You have so much fun. Actually, I don't. I don't have one lined
up. Oh, here's a good
one
here.
I'm too busy talking.
Another one. That we already talked about that one. That was Tyler that we just talked about.
Yeah?
Yeah. So here's a question for the captain. How do you approach a kelp paddy on a private boat, because you've done both, versus being on the big boat?
Same. Slow. Downwind of it. Not too close that if you get a bite, the yellowtail runs straight in the kelp and breaks you off. They'll come to you. You know, you can set up where you're a jig cast away. And if they're into it and want to do it, they will come to you. And just downwind. That way everyone who's fishing the upwind side, your baits are working towards the kelp. And just slow. Idle up on them. Slide into it. And
so if you're throwing a jig and you throw to the side of the kelp, Eddie, never throw out a kelp. You throw on the side. Do you let it sink out, or do you start pulling right away?
I just fish like a normal surface iron. Yeah.
Okay.
If it's choppy or something, maybe a 5-10 seconds so your jig's not instantly skipping, you know. But, yeah, it's a fish habitat. It's not a target.
I think you're literally hitting the target, okay, because private boaters, they look at the kelp, and it might only be as big as your coffee table or dining room table, right? I mean, let's just put an average one out there, and they think the whole mix of the habitat is in that coffee table.
Yeah.
It's a completely, you're looking at it completely wrong. That coffee table is creating habitat for all the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 inch bait fish.
Yeah.
It could be rockfish.
How many times a private boater drives right up to a kelp paddy and drops on them? You're like, What are you doing?
But that's exactly what I'm trying to lay out, because the ecosystem, the main ball of fish that you want to target, yellows, tuna,
yeah,
whatever it might be,
Dorado,
they could be 100 yards off of the kelp. It's, they're circling. They're a part of that ecosystem, and I think that's where the private boater sometimes goes wrong, right? I mean,
yeah,
you have a sonar. You can see it.
I mean, we've all, you know, you're looking through the gyros and you see a kelp, and as you start getting closer a mile, you can sometimes, you know, you see the breezer of them milling around. But, yeah, they're never, like, in it.
Right.
It's just around it.
Correct.
And if they're into you and they want to buy it, they'll find the bait.
It's better to start, like, on a private boater, side saddle it, like, upwind, and drift by it, and that fish will come to you. Like,
yeah,
you'll actually become a part of the ecosystem.
There's nothing worse when, you know, you're too close and someone gets a bite and the yellowtail runs right into the kelp, and now all of a sudden you've wound the kelp into the boat and you've turned it into a whole thing.
Yep, chopped it all up. Now, that text came through, and unfortunately that person did not leave their name, so you're not entered in to go win that trip on the Mission Bell today.
As Pete says,
no prize for you.
No prize.
Fun times. You have another one?
I actually do, and this comes from Justin in Leucadia. Good morning, guys. Great show. I have a question for Cameron about fishing the Coronados. What kind of water conditions are you looking for when trying to get in the right area to fish yellowtail, and specifically water color, direction of the current and wind? What are the elements that bring it all together? Which sounds kind of like the magical, you know?
Yeah. Some kind of in, down and in current. Seems like most places fish the best.
And that's true for up and down the coast too, right?
For sure.
Like whether you're at Palos Verdes or whether you're at Woolley.
Yeah, if you anchor up in the middle or you anchor up at SKR and your stern's facing the 302, it's backwards. You want to be, you know, looking into Mexico and Rosarita and stuff. Rips a lot of times seem to not be ideal. If you know, you can look and it looks like there's breezers over the whole ridge or something like that, or
which is like cross current,
yeah, little gyres, or it's spinning or whatnot. Just consistency and water temperature. You know, it's okay if it's 62 degrees as long as it's been 62 degrees for a few days,
and it could be 60 probably.
Totally.
Yeah,
you know, it's, as divers, we've all learned, like, the thermocline.
Yeah.
And, you know, now, you know, we've really got into these 50-meter water pitchers. Because it's not like they're subsurface. I mean, sometimes yellowtail are up high, but you dive down 10, 15 feet, water's cold.
Yeah.
You know, I think the point's 64 degrees, 65 degrees, and I think the bottom's 51 degrees.
No way.
Yeah.
Super cool.
I was talking to an urchin diver there.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is good for the health of the kelp and,
totally,
and the ecosystem on the bottom. It's healthy.
But just consistency.
But that's cold.
It's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cold. Consistency, good water, you know, clean green, blue green, you know, hunter army green. You know, you probably need to go look somewhere else. You know, when you see those film layers or random pieces of bull kelp and stuff kind of floating around, it's not ideal.
Junk,
yeah. Stagnant, you know, the water's not moving.
So it can be a shade of green.
Totally.
But as long as it's, like, been that and fish are biting in it for a week or so.
Yeah, clean green,
yeah,
you know.
It doesn't have to be that offshore, pristine, clear.
No.
I mean, you see it being better in that cleaner water?
I'm not a fan of gin clear water at times. It almost feels like sterile, like it's too clean.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, too clean of water and not enough movement. Those are two things that kind of work against you, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? You got to have movement because movement moves the nutrients around, moves the bait around.
Before this last upwelling, it was 68 degrees and you could see the bottom in the ribbon.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, 60 feet of water.
All the stuff you could see in that. Garibaldi probably too, right? Hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's won this full-day trip on the Mission Bell. Super fun here, man, with Cameron from the Mission Bell out of Point Loma Sport Fishing. When we return on the Let's Talk Cook App, YouTube, Facebook Live, and at 97.3 The Fan.
The
looking for the ultimate Alaska fishing experience and the best value in Alaska? Look no further than Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. A trip to Kingfisher includes everything you need to make your experience legendary. The finest fishing fleet in Sitka with the best captains, deluxe accommodations, gourmet food, world-class fish processing, and the best part, it's all included for one amazing price. Kingfisher is Let's Talk Hookup's most popular destination. Hundreds of listeners have experienced Kingfisher Charters, and most go back again and again. You have probably heard a lot of big promises from other Alaska lodges, only to find there were lots of hidden charges. Not Kingfisher. Everything is included. 10-hour fishing days, your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, and fishing gear. All you bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. Kingfisher Charters, your Alaska fishing destination. 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
Partners Outdoorsmen, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971. Is right in your neighborhood now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality comfort and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Bizzano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check IndependenceSportFishing.com.
Shimano has taken trolling for big fish to the next level. Introducing the new Shimano Ledge Runner. They set a new standard for offshore diving plugs. Featuring a patented technology, the Shimano Ledge Runner offers seamless depth shifting from shallow to deep ranges while maintaining stable swimming actions, even at high trolling speeds. Designed with durability and longevity in mind, Ledge Runner is available in two sizes and an array of colors. One, its amazing features is ADR, or adjustable depth range, a feature that enables anglers to change trolling depths with ease and efficiency. In addition, the Shimano Ledge Runner has HCW, or Hydro Control Wing, a stabilization feature ensuring that the lure swims straight, even at high speeds. Be ready to hear that clicker go off with the Shimano Ledge Runner, available now at your local Shimano dealer.
Adding a fish finder to my fishing kayak completely changed the way I fish. I'm Logan from Fastlane Kayaks, and I've been fishing from a Hobie kayak for over 4 years now. For about half that time, I was fishing without a fish finder, and trust me, it's called fishing blind for a reason. But don't just take my word for it. Here at Fastlane Kayaks, we've been installing and using fish finders on Hobie kayaks for over 25 years. Over all that time, we've done our fair share of trial and error to find the best mounts and methods for rigging a kayak. So instead of trying to learn 25 years of experience through endless YouTube videos, just drop your kayak off at Fastlane. Every Fastlane install is clean, user-friendly, and built to last in real saltwater conditions. One way we do that is by housing all the fuses and electrical connections inside a small waterproof case. Keeps everything protected, organized, and easy to access. Whether you're looking to add a fish finder, install a motor, or upgrade into a brand new fishing kayak, come by Fastlane Sailing and Kayaking in Mission Bay, or give us a call at 619-222-0766.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to have Cameron flip the coin, see whether the full-day trip on the Mission Bell, it happens to be a texter. It's going to Stephen Fallbrook, and appreciate you joining the show, Steve, and full-day trip coming at you.
Wow, congratulations, and what a great show, Cameron. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank
always
you,
a good time, never enough time.
Never enough.
Yeah, and hopefully we can get you back on soon. Corey, appreciate it. Good
always
weekend.
Always fun.
And hey,
what about next week's?
Next weekend, Saturday, Captain Tim and Duke Ekstrom from the Royal Star. And on Sunday, Mr. Bob Hoos with Costa.
No way.
Another good show.
He's
yeah.
sending a hello to the show, too, as
yeah.
well.
He just came out 2 weeks ago fishing.
Ah, super cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The Hoos, man.
Yeah.
It's all good. So, hey, man, join us next weekend. We'll have those the captains and Bob Hoos from Costa on Saturday and Sunday. And then join us. Let's Talk Hookup app. YouTube and Facebook Live, 97.3 The Fan. Thank you to Jeff at The Fan. Thank you to Adam and George for taking care of us in the background. Corey, always fun.
Always good time.
Man, it's just never enough time. The stories that go, love it. And hey, thanks to all of you out there calling in and texting in. This is your show, and we want to make sure that we're helping you to have a good time and learn more and answer your questions. So thank you all for joining us. See you next weekend.